Praise God. Let's sing that again as people are making their way in. Constantly abiding. I'm so amazed with Jesus when he was giving his final, he was having the apostles cram for their finals because he was going to leave and be crucified. And so in the several chapters in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you see Jesus between the upper room where they had just had the Passover supper, walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, which would be a few miles. And he just was talking to them and setting the stage for, actually he was setting the genetic pattern for the church. And one of the things that we love that he said is, abide in me and I in you. And I'm so comforted to know that when he says it, it's possible, because his love will help that to happen. And so the longing in our hearts, the reason we're here, is because we want to be constantly abiding. Jesus is mine. Sing it. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh so kind. I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. There's a peace in my heart that the world never knew. A peace cannot take away. Surround like a cloud, I'm a peace that has come there to stay. Brother Andy, would you just come and open in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence this morning. We feel, dear Lord, already that this is going to be a pinnacle, very important meeting, a time of worship, a time of hearing from the Word of God. We know that you have some very significant things to share with the church this morning, and it is with anticipation that we call upon you to speak to us this morning in our worship, in our exhortation, in our singing, in the word. We commit it all over to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
In a moment, we'll sing. But I believe that the Spirit of God has something important to accomplish in all of our hearts this morning. one of the most destructive forces on earth is unforgiveness. And sonship will be marked by mercy and forgiveness. And we're here to learn more about Jesus and his nature and how to forgive. And when you read in the scripture, you see it says his mercy endures forever. And it seems to say it hundreds of times throughout the scripture. And we're so glad that he has mercy for us, but we are supposed to be like him. And it's an area that God wants to help us with this morning, that we can learn to forgive one another. Unforgiveness is shattering homes today, right in this group. It's not that I know something, I just know humanity. Unforgiveness is shattering churches. Unforgiveness is causing all kinds of hurt. And unforgiveness is sin that causes sickness at all levels of who we are. It causes spiritual sickness. It causes sickness in our mind, and it ravages our body when we hold grudges and we won't let go and we won't forgive one another, or if we won't forgive ourselves. And it's incumbent upon the people of God that we deal with this, and I believe God's going to help us this morning. And let our faith arise that those things that we maybe have struggled with in unforgiveness, maybe it's something that's going on in our hearts right now, and somebody is offending us right now. Maybe there's schism in families or homes. It can be something that happened long ago that has impinged on your life, and it's been hurting you all of your life, and it's affected almost every day of your life with that poison of you being offended, you being trespassed against. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Would you say it? And stop. As I forgive those who trespass against me. We have to do it with his help. We have to get rid of the loads of resentment, of anger, of upset. We're prone to that. And that's why Jesus came. Forgive us our trespasses. But it's contingent on the word as we forgive those who trespass against us. Most of us have had people who let us down, and most of us have let other people down. And none of us would ever want to be accused of being a thief. But if we take something that doesn't belong to us, that's stealing, right? How about vengeance? Who does vengeance belong to? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And when we harbor aught against our brother and sister, we are stealing something that only belongs to God. It's our way of taking vengeance, to hold a grudge. And God's going to heal us this morning, set us free. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our King and our Lord is that wonderful example. Though he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, he didn't retaliate. But you know, when you examine what happened to him on the cross, That was premeditated murder. That was vengeance. That was brutality. And so many things could be a message in itself. And what did he say? Father, forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. And I believe that whatever we grapple with, whatever resentment, whatever hurt we've had, and whatever we have done to others, God's going to help us this morning. It seems like, as we brethren talked, that he wanted to accomplish some of that. The scripture says, love your enemies. Wow. Those are the ones who are or were making that, doing that damage as far as you're concerned. Trespassing really hurts, but God wants us to forgive. And we will not progress from here unless we deal with that. Amen? So let's let God do that. I'd like us to stand and sing the Lord's Prayer and ask him, O Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you feel to, just raise your hands and make this your prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I wondered why In the fruit of the Spirit, it never talks about forgiveness. But I think that forgiveness is the fragrance of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fragrance of the love that causes us to forgive the way He forgave me and you. And that fragrance is given to us, that fruit of the Spirit, so we can forgive others and let go of things. Excuse me for being emotional, but I really need this message for me, and I believe the church needs it. There's a joy in forgiveness that sets you free. You might think that you're holding somebody hostage who has offended you, but you're the one behind the bars. And you can be set free by forgiving. Forgiveness is the fragrance of joy. Oh, forgiveness is the fragrance of peace. What a peace comes over when you let go and let God have those things that have been holding you down. Long suffering, that means you can be patient and wait and ask God to remove those things that some of them take time, like weeding in a garden. You have to go back daily, and some of those weeds of unforgiveness you can pull once and they're gone forever, but others you'll visit them for the rest of your life, and that's okay, because we have to forgive every day because Jesus forgives us every day. Amen? Yes. Kindness. Oh, He's been so kind to us. Forgiveness is the fragrance of kindness, goodness. Excuse my foolishness, but do it for goodness sake. Yeah, it's part of goodness, isn't it, to forgive. Faithfulness. Oh, praise God, He's been faithful to us. We can forgive one another. Gentleness. Jesus has been so gentle with us. He has never been rough with us, right? He's always forgiven us gently, and we can forgive others. Self-control. You know, I think that the fragrance there is that if someone habitually is offending you, that you can use some wisdom and not let it just reoccur. And God will give you wisdom there. And I believe that's part of that fragrance. But I'd like us to sing the Lord's Prayer again. And I'll help you with this, or maybe you'll help me with this. But when we sing and forgive us our debts, let's sing, make it personal. Forgive me my debts as I forgive those who trespass against me. Let's try that. And it'll take a little bit of remembering, but we need to be very personal. And what do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? The person that's coming to mind right now in this meeting, and the ones who've hurt you. And you need to deal with forgiving yourself, and you need to ask forgiveness from others. So let's sing the Lord's Prayer again. Make it very personal. Let's really talk to the Lord. Let's talk business with God. As I think that we have the potential to leave this meeting transformed by Him. I just pictured some really big bulldozers just waiting outside here to take a lot of garbage away today. Just, and it'd be buried in, you know, where that sort of stuff should be buried. Right? And I have some. And I think we all can do some forgiving. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. and forgive me.
And forgive me my debts.
As I
forgive my debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver.
Trying to do some trapeze work on the piano here. I'm sorry. Well, maybe we've accomplished what we want. I just want to read this. I'm not sure, Brother Sunbo, when you wanted to come up. It might be right now. I want to just read one more scripture and maybe sing a couple more songs. And you come now if you want. And do not... In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Unforgiveness is unbelief, and they could not enter in because of unbelief. If we will not let God do what only God can do, and that is handle the things in our lives that need to be forgiven, then we are in unbelief. And God wants us to believe. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he that does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth and in spirit. I might add that God wants us to have a spirit of forgiveness. I'd like us to sing... make me more like you, Jesus. Make me more like you. Give me a heart that's filled with love. Make me more like you.
Make me more like you, Jesus.
God's church forgives one another, forgives families, forgives terrible things done to them by others, and totally lets go of it, we are on the brink of a life of miracles and answers to prayer and healings like we've never seen before, because unity is the greatest avenue to the blessing of God. He said he would pour out his Spirit on us when we have unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Have you ever wondered why we don't have more healings? I think it's because there's this particular thing that we need to deal with is the last roadblock to us entering in. This is sonship, to forgive, because the Son of God was marked by mercy. He came not into the world to condemn. If we do not forgive, then we are condemning someone, right? But if we forgive, we become like Jesus. Make me more like you, Jesus. If you're dealing with something in your heart, like I'm sure we all are, make it personal and ask God to help you. You may have said in your heart, I can never forgive that person for what they did. That ends today. You can. God will give you the grace to forgive. Make me more like you.
Sing it again. Seated. This is an important meeting. This may be the pivotal meeting of this camp. This may be a meeting that you and I could not afford to miss. As I stood there this morning, my eye was fixed on this painting here. And of course, the scripture that accompanies it. Lo, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and openeth the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We may have thought in terms of that being that the Lord comes to save you, to free you, and so it is. But he comes and knocks at your door many, many times after you have received him. And he's knocking at doors in this very hour. He's knocking at your door. He's knocking at my door even right now. And it has everything to do with what our brother has opened up to us this morning. It is an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing how we can come to a camp like this with something on our heart. We do not want it to be just our thinking. We don't want it to be a self thing. I must minister because I've got this important thing. It has nothing to do with what I think is important. But this thing was on my heart as we came into these meetings. And as Brother Brian opened the door this morning, I thought, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That is what it is about. That is important in the very hour in which we live. You know, brothers and sisters, we cannot miss steps. If you're climbing a ladder, you better hit every rung at the right time. Or you might lay on your back at the bottom of it. One rung at a time, step by step, until you reach whatever your goal is. Have you ever watched a baby, a little child? He has stages of growth. And he must go through all of the stages. From his mother's arms to eventually getting on the floor. And before they start to crawl, they start to rock. Getting ready. Going backwards instead of forwards for a while. But eventually they get to know how to go forward and get to where they want to go. Little by little, this child crawls all over the house and up the stairs and falls down the stairs. And pretty soon he realizes that mom and dad and brothers and sisters can walk on 2 feet. Why can't I do that? And so then he begins and he holds on to whatever he can hold on to and he starts to walk. Stages of growth from the babe in his mother's arms, the suckling babe, to walking, to running, to jumping, hallelujah. Growth. I don't know, maybe you know someone who has gone didn't go through the crawling stage. Maybe somebody did, I don't know. But I'll tell you, typically, they go through the crawling stage. And they can't miss that. Because it's a preparation for being able to be mobile and to be able to walk. Brothers and sisters, if we think we can miss out stages in this walk with God, if we think we can miss out stages in our advance to the kingdom of God, if we think we can miss out stages in becoming a manifest son of God, I've got news for you. If you've never heard this before, well, then it's real news, but I know you've heard it before. If there is unforgiveness in our hearts, in my heart, or in your heart, the Bible tells us what to do with it. It would be nice. It sure would be nice if you forgave your brother, your sister, your wife, some member of your family. It would be nice if you did that. It is a command. You must. Pardon the plain talk. But I don't think this is the day of playing with things. I think the Lord speaks pretty plainly to us in His Word. I like the way He speaks. There's nothing wishy-washy about it. He speaks plain, and He speaks truth, and He speaks what every one of us need in our lives from time to time. I want to tell you a little story. I remember a time in my life when I was offended over something. I couldn't even tell you what it is about now. I don't remember. and I don't care to remember. But I remember I was pretty hurt over something. And I was kind of moping around and walking around and pretty sad. And you know, as I thought about it, the Spirit of the Lord seemed to come to me at that time. And this is what He showed me. Or this is what He's told me in my thoughts. I didn't hear an audible voice. You're offended. You're offended. I went to the cross for you. They drove nails into my hands and into my feet for you. They put a crown of thorns on my head for you. They thrust that sword into my side for you. You're offended. And when it was all over, I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said that for the ones that drove the nails into His hands and into His feet. He said that for all those that stood by as spectators and watched His spectacle, that abused Him, that shouted things to Him, or that were disrespectful. He said it for them, and He said it for you, and He said it for me. I'll tell you, I have never forgotten that, because it came to me in such reality that I thought, Lord, I don't want to ever be offended again because of what You did for me without offense. Oh, He taught us so much. What God taught us, what Jesus taught us, He taught us by example. I can say a lot of things. I can say this and I can say you should do this and you should do that. He showed us by example how to walk, how to think, how to talk. He showed us what was important. And all He says to you and to me, walk in them. Walk in My ways. My truths have been expanded unto you. They will never fall by the wayside. They are truths today, and they are truths forever. Walk in them. I'm sometimes a little bit amused. You know, I was a teacher, so I kind of said things straight. So maybe you'll forgive me. I'm sometimes a little bit amused by those that say, well, you know, I've come here for a long, long time now. I've never heard anything new. Nothing new. Is that right? I'll tell you something. This is new. Whatever you enter into, whatever you have not entered into, and you enter into, is new. Whether you've heard it before or not, it is new. And as far as revelation is concerned, I'm not against revelation. God has revealed many, many things to us. He showed us many, many things. What has He said in regard to those things that He said to us? He said, walk in them. Let them become a living, breathing part of you. And I think He expects that. I think He insists upon that. I think He desires with all of His heart that His people would be a forgiving people. I remember one time. I can't remember what it was we were dealing with. But I remember Brother Smith said, and I've never forgot He said, if we don't get this straight, if we don't get it right, we're not going to grow another spiritual inch. I thought, wow, I want to grow. It's all about growth. It's a wonderful thing to see the many people that are here this morning. Wonderful. Even more wonderful is that during these meetings, there would be growth in every one of our hearts, that we would be not the same as we came in because of the visitation of the Holy Spirit in many, many different ways. And this is the way He's moving this morning. And He's saying to us, get this right. Get it right. If you harbor those things in your heart, that have to go, then let them go. If you need help to get rid of them, then get the help you need. And there may be opportunity to do that before this meeting ends this morning. You may be able to do it right where you stand or sit, and that's okay. But some of you may need a little extra help in the things we're talking about here this morning. I want to give you a couple of scriptures that are pretty dynamic. You can choose a plethora of scriptures on forgiveness. Let me give you two or three. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You see that? You forgive even as Christ has forgiven. Colossians 3:12-15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness and humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. In other words, forgive as freely as the Lord has forgiven you. But above all things, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. I've just chosen the Phillips on that last part. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, remembering that as members of the one body, you are called to live in harmony and never forget to be thankful for what God has done for you. How often do we see the personality rather than the Christ that dwells within a person? How often are we rubbed the wrong way because our personality doesn't quite mesh with someone else's? It's not about personalities. We are all different. If you lived with me for a while, you would find out some things you don't know that I tend to hide as best I can. But the Lord works on us all. And all He wants from you and me right now is a willing heart. If He is placing something within your heart right now regarding forgiveness, then you know that you need to deal with it. Yes, He will help you. Yes, He will be right there. He's standing right at the door. You open it a crack, and He will be right there to meet you where you are. The only way that nothing will happen is you keep the door slammed shut. I will not. I cannot. You don't understand the magnitude of this problem. No, I don't. But I know somebody that does. Christ knows the magnitude of the problem. Christ can deal with the problem. It doesn't matter how great it is. It doesn't matter how complicated it might be. He is a God of simplicity. He makes crooked places straight. Hallelujah. And He can do that for you this morning. Amen. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking. What voice are you hearing? Not mine. Right now you're hearing Jesus speaking. For if you forgive men their trespasses, their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Listen to the next part of the verse. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, their sins, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses or your sins. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Pretty powerful statement. Jesus said it. In Luke 6:37, Jesus speaking. You noted that, haven't you? This is Jesus that's speaking. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. That's what He said. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. There was one thing that came. Oh, there are many things, but one thing I noted as I believe the Spirit of God was kind of impressing some of these things on my heart before the camp began, that God is a God of reconciliation. He's a God of restoration. I will restore what the canker worm has eaten, what the caterpillar and the palmer worm. I will restore. What has the caterpillar eaten away in your life? What has this army of I don't know what you would call them, predators or insects or what has been eaten away? God wants to restore it. Because he's a restoring God. Every time that Israel failed, God took them back. He would restore the relationship just as soon as they returned to him. And they began to walk away, far away from him. I could give you examples of that, where they strayed a long way. They became like the nations around them. That's so far they strayed. They offered their sons and daughters to their idols. This is to the state to where Israel had come. And yet, when they realized the error of their ways and they desired to be restored, he was right there to restore, to reconcile. And it's the same God today that we serve. You know, there's something that thrilled my heart, and it's related to what we're talking about. When I looked into the Genesis, and I read about the sin that Adam and Eve fell into, and how they ate of the tree of the that they shouldn't eat of, the tree of knowledge. The tree of life was in the garden. And when they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they sinned. And that sin caused separation. And they were driven from the Garden of Eden. But I saw something there that I didn't see before. And that was this: that the tree of life, they could not eat of it in the state they were in, because they would go on living in that state. But what did God do about that tree of life? He protected it. He sent his angels to guard it. You read the scripture. That's what he did. He sent angels to guard that tree of life, because he had something in mind for that tree of life down the road. That's why. In other words, what I see there is that the restoration, the reconciliation, began even right after the sin took place. God was already preparing, God already putting in place, restoring man back to himself. And that will continue. That will continue until he has restored all that he desires to restore. I had this laid out so perfectly. No, I'm all over the map. I trust, brothers and sisters, that somehow God will take a message that's so flawed in so many ways and somehow burn it into your heart. Because
I'm not important to this. But if the Spirit of God is reaching out to you this morning, I just desire with all that is within me that you would respond. That you would respond to this flawed message. Because that's what's important. The words can fail. The right words or the wrong words can be used. But the message is, let God do in your heart what He wants to do this morning. We've got a little bit of time left here. And I'm pretty well come to the end of what I want to say. You may want to sit right where you are and just let the Spirit deal with whatever you're dealing with. Some of you may find it kind of burdensome, an inability to really be able to handle it, and you might want some help with it. We're going to open the altar for that this morning. You can just come. You don't even have to tell the brethren all about it. If you just want help with prayer and seeking God to release you, to release you. What Brother Brian said about giving forgiveness is a gift we give to ourselves. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. What a fragrance. It's a step we cannot leave out. If we think we're going to go on into the glorious things that God has for us and leave this somehow unattended to, I think we're mistaken. I'll just take another couple of minutes. If you've heard me tell this story before, then you're hearing it again. When I was teaching in about a grade 10 class, came across a poem. I love poetry. That's why I write it to my wife. And she pretends she likes it. The poet was named Edwin Markham, American poet, none of which matters. It's about four lines. So you know what poetry is? It's compressed thought. You say a lot in a few words. Isn't that right, Irene? You say a lot in a few words. And he said a lot in four lines. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. You want a little background to it? Edwin Markham had come to the end of his life, a working life. He had put all of his confidence in a financial advisor who looked after pretty well all of his money, invested it for him. He was busy writing poetry. He didn't have much time to look at what was happening with his financial affairs. Came to the end of his life, working life. There was nothing there. It had all been squandered into bad investments, and anyone ever had any of those? And he was devastated. This was his whole retirement gone. And he was just overtaken by feelings of resentment and revenge, and how could this fellow do this to me? Don't even tell me. Here I've come. I want to retire. I want to be free. No. There's no money to be free. He sat one day at his desk, and there was a piece of paper on his desk and a pen in his hand. And he said to himself as he sat there, I must forgive. I will forgive. I must be free of this, these feelings that I have that are binding me. I must. I will. And the result was outwitted. And he felt all of that resentment drain from his body as he wrote that four-line poem. Why? Because he had entered into a spiritual principle, that's why. And that's what changed Markham. And he was never the same after that experience. I'd like to read to you something that I may have read before. I'll tell you, it hits a nail right on the head. Many nails have been hit on the head here this morning, including mine. Maybe you have read it. It's called The Cold Within. You know what we read in Ezekiel? I'll take the stony heart. I'll take the stony heart out of you. I'll give you a new spirit. I'm using my own words here. I could look it up, but I won't. I'll just say it the way it comes to me. I'll take the stony heart out of your breast. I'll give you a new spirit. I will give you a heart of flesh. You say, well, I haven't got a stony heart. A heart of unforgiveness is a stony heart. A heart of flesh is that malleable and pliable heart that yields to the moving of the Spirit of God. The cold within. Six humans trapped by happenstance in black and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs. The first woman held hers back. For on the faces round the fire, she noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church. and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third man sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke of revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. And the last man of this forlorn group did not accept for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. The logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. This morning, you'll stand, please. Someone start, Jesus breaks every fetter.
Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free.
It's all about being set free this morning. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about entering into that place where we can be unburdened with those things that have troubled us. You can be free this morning. If you feel to come up as we sing this song again, you just come. There'll be those that will help you in whatever you're struggling with. Sing it again and come.
Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he sets me free. I will shout hallelujah. I will shout hallelujah. I will shout hallelujah. For he sets me free.
Brethren, just come and provide the assistance that is needed here. Some of you elders may wish to come as well. Brian, would you come, please? You might want to stay a little bit here. Praise God. Praise God.
Leave it there. Leave it there.
Pianist, please.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Just come and leave it here.
Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely. Spirit free, that I may worship Thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise Thy name.
Let all bondage go.
Let all bondage go, and let Thee. Set my spirit free to worship Thee. Set my spirit free that I may worship Thee. Set my spirit free that I let all bondage go.
Those of you who are not at the front, just enter in as if you were and just review those people in your life that you need to forgive and pray for them. Just ask God to set your spirit free. This is not about a spectator where you're watching other people. This is where we are examining our heart before the Lord. We need His help this morning. I believe that God is going to give us a breakthrough far beyond what we could ask or think. So as we sing that, just close your eyes and concentrate on the Lord. He's the one. Not the song will set you free, but He'll set you free. As we sing sincerely, set my spirit free.
Set my spirit free, that I may worship Thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise Your name. Let all bondage go, and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship Set my spirit free, that I may worship Thee. Set my spirit free, that I may praise Thy name. Set my spirit free to worship Thee.
Forgive me for being specific, but us human beings have a lot of garbage. And some of it is that we will refuse to talk to certain people or phone them. We will not visit them. We avoid them. We resent them. We won't look at them if we're in church together, amen? That we're prone to that, aren't we? And we're going to sing now, I'm turning it all over to You. You're setting me free. Jesus, I've struggled alone too long. You're calling to me. I'm bringing all my gain and loss to Your feet at the old rugged cross. I'm turning it all over to You. You're setting me free.
I'm turning it all over to You. You're setting me free.
Jesus, I've struggled.
Jesus, I've struggled alone too long. You're calling to me. I'm bringing all my gain and loss to Your feet at the old rugged cross. I'm turning it all over to You. You're setting me I'm turning it all over to You. You're setting me free. Jesus, I've struggled alone too long. You're calling to me. I'm bringing all my gain and to your feet at the old rugged cross. I'm turning it all over to you. You're setting me free. I'm bringing all my gain and loss to your feet at the old rugged cross. I'm turning it all over to you. You're setting me free.
We're going to sing one more song. Unforgiveness is an evil, right? It's a poison to us. Forgiveness is the healing. And I'd like us to sing, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from evil and seek his face, then he will hear. Can we sing that?
If my people called by my name turn from evil and seek your face. If my people called by my name turn from and seek my face, I will hear, I'll forgive, I will hear, will heal them.
Now let's make it personal. We, your people, we're going to change the key. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. We, your people, will turn from evil. Praise God. Is Wayne Peters here? Yeah, sorry, he's busy. I'll call him up in a moment. But we need to deal with rebellion and stubbornness because it's the same as the sin of witchcraft. And we are capable of just saying no to God. And if you read in the book of Revelation, there's one judgment after the earth, after the other that comes on the earth, and the people harden their hearts. And Christians can do that. And we need to be set free because it is the rebellion of which it's the same as witchcraft to rebel. And it says in the book of Hebrews that we must not harden our hearts. And if your heart is hard, it's like that, those stones in that ground, where there it cannot bear fruit there. And God is only pleased if he can bear much fruit. So as we sing this, we your people, called by your name, humble ourselves and pray. Let's make it personal.
We your people, called by your name, turn from evil. Seek your face. We your people.
Thank you, see.
Call by your name. Turn from evil. and seek your face.
Hear our cry, O God.
Hear our cry. Lord, forgive. Come and hear. Come hear.
To give a little instruction, we're going to sing that again, but I want to caution you, if you feel to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness, make sure that you're gentle with them. And if you want somebody to forgive you, don't lay out before them all the things that offended you, because it'll just happen again. My dear mom, who's here, gave me a wonderful gift one day. I wasn't a very easy teenager to have in the house, and she and I clashed quite a bit in those years. She came to me and she said, "Brian, I can't sleep at night lately. Some of the things that went on between us are bothering me a lot." She said, "I'd like you to forgive me." And I thought of the things that went on between us and the difficulties that I caused her. And I knew that I couldn't name the things. There was no point in bringing up the past. And I just said, "Mom, let's forgive everything." And right there, the slate was clean between us. And it brought such a joy in our relationship as mother and son. We need to be careful when we go. Make sure you've prayed a lot in advance. If you go to someone and you ask them forgiveness, ask God for wisdom how to do it. We need to cause, as a prophecy said at the beginning of this camp, God wants to break up the fallow ground, those parts that aren't growing. He needs to throw some stones of unforgiveness. He needs to get rid of some of our rebellion where we are standing in the way of what God is wanting to do. I believe we are at a stage before the Jordan River of entering into sonship in the promised land that's vital now. We need to prepare our hearts. So let's sing that again. And Bryce, would you come up? I think you have a scripture you'd like to share with us. But let's sing that. If my people called by my name.
If my people call by my name, turn and seek my face, if my people call by my name, turn from evil and seek my face, I will hear, I'll forgive. I will heal their land. seek your face.
Just gonna share something, because forgiveness isn't easy, and there's almost, I want to say, a trick to it. See if I can find a scripture here in Luke that I think we touched on already. Now I can't find it. Here it is. Luke 6:27. But to those who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who hurt you. There is a difficulty in forgiving that can be overcome by blessing the person that you need to forgive and praying for them. I'm going to relay a story that I was told just in the last couple weeks. Someone who is doing some work overseas with some young criminals, and he was dealing with this young man, and he could see that this young man was really struggling, and he said, "So what's the problem?" The young man said, "I have a murderer's heart." Said, "When I was young, I was sitting eating with my family, and someone came in, and they killed my father right in front of me. And from that point on, I decided that I was going to find that man, and I was going to kill him." But what this young man had learned about Jesus and how he needed to move on from that told him that he couldn't do this anymore. But he just wasn't sure how to forgive. And so this man talked a lot about the same things that we've talked about today, about the need to forgive and how that releases you. And so this young man prayed and he asked that God would help him to forgive. But there still seemed to be something in the way, and the Lord put on this man's heart that he needed to have this young man pray for this man that he wanted to kill, and pray blessing on him. And this is very difficult. This young man had wanted to kill this person for many, many years, but he said, "Okay, if that's what God is wanting me to do, that's what I'm going to do." And He started to pray, and it just poured out from him, and he just blessed this man, and he prayed that this man would have a wonderful life, and he just prayed blessing upon blessing upon blessing on this man. And then that was it. And the next day, the two of them met again, and the young man said, "You know, every night before I go to bed, I see that man's face, and it makes it so that I can't sleep, and last night I didn't see his face. In fact, I can't even remember what he looks like anymore." And I just want to encourage you that there is such freedom when we are praying for those that we need to forgive, because it allows us to have that love of Christ come in and work through us to be a blessing, and that brings the forgiveness.
Just stand if you're seated, and if you feel you can, we're going to close this meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, as we leave this gathering, and we pray that your presence will go with us and bless us as we go. We may ponder on the things of your Spirit that has been ministering unto us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the peace of God, may the love of God, may that overwhelming forgiveness go with us, be with us, as we continue to fellowship. In Jesus' precious name, we ask your blessing on the meals that have been prepared, strength granted to the strengthening and to the nutrients of our bodies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Announcements, please.